Luke chapter 2. And the woman we want to consider this morning in this series that we've been conducting over the past few months is a woman called Anna. There are only three verses written about her. There in verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Issachar. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. That's all written about this woman, Anna. And it is interesting to note how the Holy Spirit introduces this woman to us. He does so with the words, "And there was one Anna," in that verse 36. This seems to be the Spirit's way of setting Anna apart as an exceptional individual. "And there was one Anna." There may have been other women in Jerusalem called Anna, but this Anna was different. She stood alone as someone who was very special. She was like another servant of the Lord in Jerusalem who had come into the temple at that time, Simeon. Indeed, similar words are used to introduce Simeon to us. We know that there where we began our reading in the verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem." Just as there was one Anna, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. No doubt there were other Simeons in the city. It would have been a very common name amongst the Jewish people. But this Simeon, once again, stands out from all the rest. There was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. Just as the Lord indicated that this Anna was different from all other Annas in the city, so Simeon was different from all the other Simeons in the city. Indeed, as we look at those words again, "And there was one Anna," they tell us that there is only one Anna mentioned in the New Testament. Just one Anna. This means that we will never get her mixed up or confused with any other Anna in Scripture. There was just the one mentioned in God's Word. And this also teaches us something else, I believe. For in itself it would indicate that the Lord wants us to focus on this Anna, to consider this woman, since there is no other Anna in the Bible. We have this Anna, and we're told about her in just three verses. And the Lord surely would want us to consider this particular woman. So what was special about Anna? Why is she given such a prominent position in Scripture, being the only Anna that is mentioned? She is certainly one of the wonderful women of the Bible. First of all, we are told something about the life of Anna. Now, Luke is the only one to mention this woman, and he gives us a brief account of her life. In that verse 36, we are told that she was a prophetess. We're told she was the daughter of Phanuel. We're told that she was of the tribe of Issachar or Asher. We're told also that she was a great age. We're told that her husband died in the 7th year of their marriage. We're told that she was a widow of about 84 years. So we're given these details about her life, these facts about Anna's life. And the first thing we learn about her is her grace. This was a woman who knew all about the grace of God. When a person professes faith in Jesus Christ, then we expect to see evidence of grace. We expect to see evidence of saving grace in that person's life. As Job used the phrase in Job 19 and verse 28, seeing the root of the matter is found in me. And anyone who is genuinely saved and born again, they can say the root of the matter, the root of salvation is found in me. And of course, if the root of salvation, if the root of saving grace is not found in the soul, then there is no spiritual life there. The root of saving grace must be in the soul. The root of the matter must be there. And I've heard ministers speak about believers, maybe in their congregation, and have doubts about whether those people are saved or not, and they would use that term. They say, I don't know if the root of the matter is in them or not. They don't seem to show any evidence of grace in their lives. Indeed, the Lord taught this in his parable regarding the sower. And we read in Mark chapter 4. You are familiar with that parable of the sower. We read in Mark 4 and verses 5 and 6. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. It had no root. There was no depth to it. And then the Lord explains those verses in verses 16 and 17, and he says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, not very long, they endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They endure for a while. It's interesting that that word is used. Because anyone who does not have the root of the matter in them and they've made a profession, within their life is really a life of endurance, not a life of enjoyment. If the root of the matter is not there, there's no enjoyment. There is indeed just endurance. And so if the root of the matter is not in the soul, then there is no evidence of life in the soul, no evidence of grace in that person's life. There is no doubt that the root of the matter was certainly growing in the soul of Anna. And it was evidenced in her life. Take for her, for example, her name. The name Anna means gracious. And in the few words that have been written about her by Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we can see without a doubt this, Anna was a gracious woman. And being called Anna, she of course then had a name to live up to. As we pointed out so often, the Jews would know the meanings of these names. Because the parents would give their children names and give them certain names for a reason. And here this woman was given the name Anna at her birth, and she was a gracious woman. She was not only a gracious woman by name, she was a gracious woman by nature. That is how she would be known. Wherever she would go, she would be recognized, she would be known. She would be looked upon as a gracious woman. She wasn't seen as a bitter or spiteful woman, but she was known for her gracious ways. And you think of something here. When she lost her husband after only 7 years, she bore that loss graciously. She did not become bitter against the Lord for taking the love of her life so early in their marriage. She bore that loss graciously. She bore the pain of loss with great grace. As the prophet said to Israel, Jeremiah 22 and 23, "How gracious shalt thou be when pangs come upon thee?" And the prophet was saying to Israel, when trouble comes, when pain comes, how gracious will you be then? We can show the marks of grace when things are going well. But will we show the marks of grace when things are not going so well? Will we still be just as gracious in our behavior and attitude and speech? Certainly was the case with Anna. She was a gracious woman. Anna had suffered the pangs of loss, but she had done so with great grace. As well as her grace, we see also her gift. The first thing we are told about Anna is that she was a prophetess. Now it appears that there were some women whom the Lord gave the gift of prophecy to. This is a fact. We can't avoid it or attempt to argue it away. There are some women in the Bible whom we are told had the gift of prophecy. In the Old Testament, we're told about Miriam, the prophetess, Exodus 15 and verse 20. In Judges 4 and verse 4, we're told there about Deborah, a prophetess. Also, we read about Huldah, the prophetess, in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 22. And then we come into the New Testament, and we are told about the four daughters of Philip, the evangelist, which had, we're told that he had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And then when we go to Revelation 2 and verse 20, we're told there about Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. But if Jezebel was a self-proclaimed or self-appointed prophetess, Anna's gift of prophecy evidently came from the Lord. Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians? And there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, the Lord dealt with this particular matter of the gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." In other words, the Holy Spirit has given gifts to every man. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." to every man. Now, we should not run away with the idea. We should not run away with the idea that this is a license for women to be preachers, or that they are prophetesses today. That is not the case. We should remember that the spirit of prophecy, which had been withheld for 400 years, between Malachi and the New Testament, there was a period of 400 years. There was no prophecy and no prophets. The Lord was not communicating with any man to prophesy or to speak. And we should also remember that the word prophecy does not always mean the foretelling of future events. See, Harold Camping made a fool of himself once again. And his silly words only cause the enemy to blaspheme. The enemy just laughs at Christians now when someone like Harold Camping comes out with that nonsense. But anyhow, in those days there were no prophets until we come to the New Testament. And then God began to speak once more. And here we find that He gave to Anna the gift of prophecy. And for the 400 years since Malachi's time, there was nothing heard from the Lord until Christ came. And so the Lord, according to His sovereign will, blessed Anna with the gift of prophecy. And it shows how the Lord honored this woman. Now, we have given you a list of the women who had the gift of prophecy, who were called prophetesses. And very few in number. But what do we find when we come into the New Testament? We find that Anna was a prophetess. Of all the women in Jerusalem, of all the women in Israel, the Lord chose Anna and blessed her with this gift. It shows us how the Lord honored this woman. Is it any wonder then that Luke has given us a few verses about this particular and very special and wonderful woman? Because she was honored by the Lord. And the Lord has honored us all. We should remember this. The Lord has honored all of His people with particular gifts. Now, we're not talking primarily about the gifts that we read about there in 1 Corinthians 12, but the Lord has given us all gifts. I remember in my student days in the Church of Noma, we had a children's meeting every Friday night. And the bus would go out and round up the children and bring them to the church. And the bus would go through one of the, as you would say, the rougher areas of the town. And we always got a group of children from there, and when they came into the church, well, to say the least, they were very hard to control. But we're glad to have them. But you're always telling to sit down or be quiet or stop running about or something. And then we had a visitor from Scotland. A man who had a caravan ministry. He would go around the caravan sites in Scotland and hold children's meetings. Now, whenever that man came and dressed our children that night, I couldn't believe it. You'd almost have thought there was a spell on the children. Because they all sat there like little angels. And there wasn't a word out of them. And there we and the other knights had been struggling to keep them quiet and keep them sitting at peace. And yet this man came along and he spoke to them for half an hour and they never moved. What do you put that down to? That man had a gift for speaking to children. He had a gift for speaking to children. And I know there are some of our ministers, myself included, that you just don't feel you have that gift. And sometimes you feel uncomfortable speaking to children, and children can discern that too. They know the speaker is uncomfortable, and I think they play on it. But this brother came, and I couldn't believe it. There wasn't a movement out of them. And then the following week was just back to normal again. But the man had a gift. And I use that story to illustrate the point. The Lord has given us gifts, all of us gifts. And it is up to each one of us to find out, to discern what that gift is, and then to use it to the glory of the Lord. It may be a musical gift. It may be some other gift. It may be a preaching gift. Or a gift that a missionary can use. But here the Lord honored Anna, and she was given the gift of prophecy. Now what all that entails, I do not know. Maybe she was just a teacher, and she taught the other women who went up to the temple. We don't know. The next thing I notice here is her generation. We're told that Anna was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser or Asher. She was the daughter of Phanuel, of whom we know nothing. Don't know a thing about this man. But the name is equivalent to a place name that we have in Genesis 32. You turn, please, to Genesis 32. And there in Genesis 32 and verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Penuel. Penuel is the same as Peniel. Penuel is the same as Peniel, and Penuel is the same as the name of Anna's father, Phanuel. It's the same name, and it means the same thing. So we have three names here. We have Peniel, Penuel, and the father of Anna, who is Phanuel. They all mean the same thing. So the names are the same, they're spelt differently, but they all are the same. And the interesting thing is this. As we've just read there in Genesis 32 and verse 30, Jacob called that place Peniel because he said, I have seen God face to face. That's the meaning of the name. That's the meaning of Phanuel. And his father. And it means to see the face of God. The face of God. That's what it means. And is that not interesting? Because here you have the father of Anna, who has a name that means the face of God. And if Jacob saw the face of God at Peniel or Penuel, lo and behold, Anna saw the face of God. And the meaning of her father's name was fulfilled in his daughter. Because Anna, when she came into the temple that day and looked upon the face of Jesus Christ, she looked upon the face of God. And so really, when Phanuel was given his name, meaning the face of God, it turned out to be prophetic. because it meant that his daughter, in her day, saw the face of God when she looked upon Jesus Christ. And then we're told also that this Anna was of the tribe of Aser, or the tribe of Asher. Asher was the eighth son of Jacob, and Leah was his mother. You can read about it in Genesis 30, verses 12 and 13. So he's the eighth son of Jacob, was named Asher. Now, what does Asher mean? Asher means blessed or happy. And so here is Anna from the tribe of Asher, which means blessed or happy. And how blessed Anna was when she came into the temple at that moment, that day, and she saw Christ, possibly still in the arms of Simeon. And she came into the temple that day, and she saw Christ. She saw Messiah, the one whom she, along with all of Israel, had been waiting for. And when she saw the Lord, when she saw Christ, what do we read in verse 38? And coming in that instant gave thanks. She was happy. She was blessed. And so there you have in Anna's generation, you have her father's name, Phanuel, which means the face of God. Anna saw the face of God when she looked on Christ. Of the tribe of Asher, Asher means blessed or happy. And if ever there was a woman blessed at that time in Jerusalem, it was Anna, because she had seen the face of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And she was happy when she saw the face of the Lord, because she started to give thanks. And so when a Christian has no joy or happiness in their heart or in their soul, maybe one of the reasons is that they haven't looked into the face of the Lord for a while. Because it's when you look into the Lord and you look to the Lord and see the face of Jesus Christ, you're blessed. When you study the Word and you see the face of Christ in the Word, you're blessed. When the Word is preached and Christ is preached and you see Christ, then you're happy. You're blessed indeed. So there we have some facts about the life of Anna. That leads us now to consider the labors of Anna. We're told that Anna was a great age. It would appear that she was over 100 years old. For we are told that she had been married for just 7 years. And when her husband dies, she was without her husband for about, we're told, 84 years. That tells us then she was 91. And let's say she was married when she was 18. That would mean that she was in the temple and labored in the temple and served the Lord in the temple when she was 109. So she was a woman of a great age. And what we want to notice here, first of all, is Anna the widow. Anna had been married, as we have said, for just 7 years, when her husband was taken from her. And for 84 years, for 84 years, Anna had been a widow. That's a long time. The Apostle Paul informed Timothy, listen, honor widows that are widows indeed, And then he goes on to say, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God. And so here Paul tells us something about the widow. She is to be honored, someone who is a widow indeed. She is to be honored, and that widow, he says, is desolate. The word means to be lonely. And a widow can be a very lonely person, as we can understand. But we are told that this widow that Paul spoke about was to be honored in her desolation, and she was a woman who trusteth in God. And that's what we find out about Anna. No one could deny that Anna was a widow indeed. She had been so for 84 years. And she was to be honored. And here I believe the Lord is honoring her by including her in his holy word. In the sacred articles of God, Anna is mentioned. Why? The Lord's honoring her. And she was a woman who was honored indeed. And in the desolation of her widowhood, she gave herself to the Lord. And so we learn then from these verses that the Lord then took the place of Anna's husband. And the Lord became her husband. The Lord became Anna's husband, as the prophet has said, thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, Isaiah 54 and verse 5. And as we have pointed out, Anna did not bear any bitterness. There was no bitterness in her heart towards the Lord for taking her husband away after they'd only been married for 7 years. It would have been very easy for this woman to become bitter, as no doubt many others have, when their partner in life has been taken from them. They've questioned the Lord. They've grown bitter against the Lord. But not so Anna. She was still, as Paul said, trusting in God. And instead of Anna, as it were, turning away from the Lord, as many have done. Many have turned away from the Lord when something like this has happened. Instead of Anna turning away from the Lord, why Anna turned to the Lord? Instead of being bitter with the Lord, we find that Anna, we gather rather from these verses, that Anna fell more in love with the Lord. After all, the Lord has now become her husband. And when we consider what Paul said about the duty of wives to their husbands, Anna was a dutiful wife to the Lord, her husband. You turn, please, to Ephesians. We'll just remind ourselves of these words. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. And all the duties that are set out here regarding husbands and wives, we find that what is said about the wife, Anna performed her duty to the Lord who became her husband after the death of her husband of 7 years. We read in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's what Anna did. She submitted herself unto the Lord, making him her husband. She submitted herself unto the Lord. Look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You can apply that to Anna. She was subject unto the Lord, her husband, in all things. Verse 33, Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That's what Anna did. The Lord became her husband in the absence of her earthly husband. And all the duties that a wife is to perform towards her husband, Anna performed them towards the Lord, because he became her husband. And we read there in the verse 34 or 36, and there was one Anna, prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was a great age and lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, and departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. There she is performing her duty to the Lord, her husband. The Lord filled the aching void in her life. And the Lord, and Anna filled her life with the Lord. That's what she did. She filled her life with the Lord. As well as Anna the widow, we see here also Anna the worshipper. It appears that following her husband's death, that Anna gave herself completely over to the Lord. She gave herself completely over to the Lord. We just read there in that verse 37, she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Night and day. Departed not from the temple. Served God with fasting and prayers night and day. There's a woman whose life was given over to the Lord. We can see that. There's nothing else mentioned there. Nothing else talked about there. That anything else that Anna did. It's all the Lord. It's all him. And this reminds me so much of Joseph Scriven, whose story we're all familiar with. After being robbed of his future wife on 2 separate occasions, Joseph Scriven then felt that it was not the Lord's will for him to be married. And he gave the rest of his life completely over to the Lord. Going around the town, going around the streets and the outer lying areas, giving out gospel tracts and preaching in the open air, and doing what his Lord often did, going about doing good. Cutting wood for poor people, looking after those who were less fortunate than himself. He gave him his life over to the Lord. Anna gave her life over to the Lord. And we see here that instead of Anna sitting at home looking at an empty chair, she made God's house her home. It says she departed not from the temple. The times of temple services were 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. And this simply means that she, that is Anna, departed not from these services in the temple. Now let's remember, she is a woman of a great age. We're talking about someone who's over 100 years old. And yet we read that she departed not from the temple. She was at all of the meetings in the temple, 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Again, referring to the mission in Lurgan, there was a little woman, and she was at all of the meetings in the mission. They called her Gladys, another Gladys. And Gladys would come with her walker in the church, and of course they would see her at the door going out. And in the second week of the mission, one of the elders standing at the door with me says, "Do you know what age Gladys is?" I says, "I've no idea." He says, "Her birthday's next month, and she'll be 99 years old. 99. And when I heard that, I said to her, I says, "Gladys, you'll soon be getting a letter from the Queen. She's only another year to go to reach the century." But she was 99, and she was there at all of the services. A remarkable woman. 99. Maybe that's the age that Anna was. If she died when she was, let's say, 109, she was there in the temple. And she was a woman, we're told, of a great age. She was there at the meetings. As much as lay within her, Anna was present at all of the services. And how valuable this proved to be, because it was while she was attending one of those services that she saw the Lord. Coming in that instant, she saw the Lord. Had she not been so diligent in her attendance, had she not been so devoted to her Lord, she would have missed the meeting with Christ. Doesn't this remind us of Thomas, the disciple, who missed the first meeting that the Lord appeared unto his disciples? Thomas wasn't there. He missed the first meeting, and he missed the Lord. And the Lord came back to the second meeting, primarily to speak to Thomas and to remove from Thomas's mind the doubts that he had. The best policy for us then is to be like Anna, who departed not from the temple. You also have Anna the worker. If her departing not from the temple speaks to us of her diligence, then her service in the temple speaks of her devotion. Surely it does. Because how did she serve the Lord? It says she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Remember, this was a woman of great age. She served God, and she was over 100. She served God. And how did she serve him? Fasting and prayers. How often did she serve him? Night and day. Her devotion to her husband, namely the Lord himself, prompted her to serve the Lord in this way. There were no duties for women to perform in the temple. Those were all carried out by men. Yet we find that this woman, Anna, still served the Lord in the temple. And if she couldn't perform the regular duties of the temple, how could she serve him? We're told by fastings and prayers. And do you notice that this fasting and prayers is described as a service to God? We're serving God when we fast and pray. This woman who was a widow indeed, remember the words we quoted from Paul to Timothy? We didn't finish the verse. This is what the whole verse says. 1 Timothy 5, verse 5. "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God." That's where we stopped. The rest of the verse says, "And continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." My, it's almost as if Paul was writing this word as a commentary on the life of Anna. "But continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." Along with fastings, that's exactly what Anna did. This was how she spent her time serving the Lord with fastings and prayers night and day. She not only prayed, she fasted. Again, we keep reminding ourselves she was an aged woman, a woman of a great age, it says. And believer, this is how a widow woman of a great age served God in the temple with fastings and prayers night and day. Why would this woman not put us to shame? Would this woman not put us to shame? But she was willing. She was willing to miss a meal or two in order to spend more time before God. She was willing to miss an hour or two of sleep that she might spend more time at the throne of grace. And she was a woman of a great age. And remark this, her fastings and prayings are regarded as a service to God. So nobody can say, how can I serve God? I don't know how to serve God. You can serve God with fastings and prayers. And finally, and very quickly, you have the love of Anna. If the Lord was the husband of her widowhood, then it is clear that she loved her husband. Notice Anna's reward. Anna's diligence and devotion were well rewarded, for she saw the Lord in the temple. And the Lord Jesus had been brought to a temple by Mary and Joseph, and it was then that Simeon had come into the temple. We read that in verses 27 and 28. And as Simeon was holding the Christ child in his arms and ministering to Mary and Joseph, we read, and she coming in that instant. Martha came in that in our Anna came in that instant. So like Simeon, Anna had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. And her wait and her patience was rewarded. She saw the Lord. There's something else here. There was Simeon in the temple. There was Mary in the temple. Joseph in the temple. And who knows who else was there. But when Anna came into the temple, who did she see? Saw Christ. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Who for? Because she had seen Christ. She didn't come and see Mary and Joseph and Simeon. She saw the Lord. Let us come to God's house seeking to see the Lord. For if we do, we'll be rewarded. The Lord will reveal himself to us. You have Anna's reward, you have Anna's rejoicing. No sooner had her eyes fallen upon the Lord than we read that she gave thanks likewise, just as Simeon did. She gave thanks likewise. She rejoiced in seeing the Lord along with Simeon. She added her voice to others who gave thanks for the Lord Jesus. Believer, we ought to give more thanks for the Lord Jesus every day. Thank the Lord for his Son. Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It was seeing Christ that made Anna rejoice. Like the disciples in the upper room then, when the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And then you have Anna's report. Anna couldn't keep silent over what she had seen or who she had seen. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him. Those lovely words, and spake of him, and spake of him. And spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. You think of the many who, in the Gospels, who saw the Lord and they couldn't keep it to themselves. They went out and spake of him. The woman of Samaria went back to the city. She spoke of him. Andrew, when he found Christ, went to his brother Peter and spake of him. The Emmaus disciples, when the Lord revealed himself to them, they went back to Jerusalem and spake of him. The women coming from the sepulchre that morning saw the risen Christ, fell at his feet and worshipped him, and then went and told the disciples, and they spake of him. Anna couldn't keep it to herself. And there you have Anna right to the end of her days, speaking of Christ. What a wonderful way to end your life. To preach him in life and cry in death. Behold. Behold the Lamb. May the Lord give us all the spirit that was in this wonderful woman, Anna. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear loving God and gracious Father, we bless thee again for thy precious word. Thank thee, Lord, for this wonderful woman. What an example she is to us. And O loving God, we pray that we'll follow in her footsteps. Even as Paul said, follow me even as I am a follower of Christ. For truly, Lord, Anna was a follower of Christ. May we be like her. Even, Lord, till the end of our days, still serving the Lord with fastings and prayers and speaking of him. Write thy precious word on our hearts. Thy Lord, take us to our homes in safety. Return us this evening to learn more about thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.